This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I mean, it seems in the last few years you've sort of gotten into the, you know, that was a bad question. I was going to say you just got into the teen genre, but what I think of as your early work doesn't seem teen to me, but I guess it was.
Yeah, well, actually, even going back to your question, I think, you may not remember, but I produced the first two David Cronenberg movies. My very first movie was a movie called Cannibal Girls as a director. but as you correctly surmised, it is more of a comedy than a scary movie. But I've always loved
Canadian filmmaking. It was a historical event.
Yes, well, I was always a fan of thrillers and horror movies, actually. As a 13-year-old, I remember having my own scrapbook and sort of subscribing to Fantasmagoria, or Fangoria, and all sorts of things like that, and, you know, being very involved. And then my real love, of course, was comedy. I mean, by the time I got to college, it was clear that that was going to be my voice, even though, despite the Cronenberg movies, which I'm very proud of, you know, at the beginning. But, you know, this was a spec script that we bought as a company before the studio. Actually, the studio wasn't even interested in it initially. And that we developed ourselves. I met Shia at the Toronto Film Festival, actually, about 2 years ago, and spoke to him about it, even before we had the opportunity to make it and knew we were going to make it. But I just thought he was going to be perfect. And, you know, it turned out.
Did you see him in something that you knew he'd be perfect, or just from meeting him and talking with him?
No, I saw him in Project Greenlight, and I was just interested in him as an actor. Oh. I remember thinking when I saw that sort of series that he's had so much stuff, and it was and he was so confident. I sat down with him, actually, at the Four Seasons Hotel in Toronto, and had dinner with him. And he started telling me stories about his parents. He had a very unusual upbringing, and being a child actor, and, you know, that television, Even Steven or whatever it was called. And I'm looking at him, and I said, where is all this confidence coming from? And he had such energy and such intensity. He was both funny and very real, and I love the way he presented himself, and it was remarkable. He was like 17 or 18 years old at the time. And I remember going back to speak to my colleagues here and saying, okay, well, if we can get Disturbia made, he's the guy. and sold him really hard when we finally got the green light. And, you know, everybody agreed very much that he was, and it's wonderful to see the trajectory of his career now take off over the last 12 months.
Well, and obviously anticipating him breaking out in Transformers, do you think...
No, excuse me. Excuse me. We've not seen Transformers, but we have seen Disturbia, and he breaks out in this movie.
I was going to ask, do you think this is a better time to position this movie than perhaps after the large effects movies?
It's an interesting question, actually, because there was a lot of conversation with the studio about when this movie should come out, and there was a strong contingent over at DreamWorks who, anticipating the success of Transformers, said we should wait until Transformers come out, but by then he'll be a big star and it'll help the release of this small movie. And and we argued strongly that we should just stand on our own, that this film could actually help Transformers, that because he plays such a rich character in this film, it'll help sort of strengthen what is more of a kind of large action extravaganza in Transformers, because he will have already been preset more as a personality as a result.
I think
of
this is the first kind of semi-little romance he's done, too, because Halsey's too young.
That's right.
So this is kind of like the first girlfriend movie. So
yes.
Kids like that.
Yeah, and I think, actually, one of the things that makes this movie work so well is that relationship, you know.
So I'll just throw out there something about Old School, just for the hell of it.
Sure.
So there's been rumors for years of a sequel. Is there any update on Old School?
I have in my briefcase a new draft of the screenplay I got last night. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to read it on the plane tomorrow. And so, yeah, we very much want to do it. We hope we can corral the entire cast. As it was written by the same writers, would be directed by Todd Phillips, as before.
Hasn't Will said some negative things about doing sequels? I mean, will it be hard to get him, convince him back?
I think it certainly will be hard to get the cast together again, because it always is. I remember before Ghostbusters 2, for 7 years, every one of us, including myself, said, you know, the odds of a Ghostbusters 2 are nil. There was no way we're going to ever get the cast together. Bill Murray kept continuously saying he wasn't going to do it again, but somehow it came out. So, who knows?
Well, these days, you know, they'll just recast or something, you know? Like,
no, I wouldn't want to recast. I think the strength of a movie like Ghostbusters and Old School is the sort of charm of those people together.
Has the script, the new draft that you have, is that the same concept that's just been tweaked?
No.
You know, or each draft you've been getting has been a kind of a new concept on the.
Well, it's the three characters in a different situation.
Is the Big Dirty the American name for the Trailer Park Boys?
No, it was always the subtitle. Even in Canada, we decided not to use it much, but. But it is the Trailer Park Boys movie.
What's its situation in the States? Has it just come out?
I can't officially say we closed the deal, but by next week it should be closed for an American release.
Do you have any idea how American audiences are going to react?
Well, we screened it here, you know, just to see. It was just at South by Southwest at the film festival. This is a movie called The Trailer Park Boys Movie. And the audiences loved it. Much the same response as in Canada. It's a Canadian troupe, comedy troupe, that I helped make a film
Can you talk a little bit about casting Sarah and Aaron in their roles? Because I know the director, but you were there. I'm sure it has something to do with it. What do they bring that you thought they're perfect for their roles?
Well, I think Aaron's very funny, and it was just a great, you know, leavening of a pretty serious story. And he just brought this wonderful youthful energy to the whole piece, and I think he did a lot of that work himself. A lot of that was discovered on the set. I think Sarah Romer, that was a very tough part to cast. All of us had a lot to say about that. I was a big advocate for her, and she was in Ring or Grudge. I can't remember which one.
Grudge 2.
Sorry, I can't. I should know, but you've got all the official stuff. And I actually didn't even look at her in that film, but I just saw her audition tape. I thought that there was a great combination of her ability to deal with his intensity. I think as attractive as she is and as long as her legs are, which are definitely attributes to this movie, I think really what makes her work is that she doesn't take any shit from this guy. And if you just watch those scenes together, there's a kind of knowingness that I guess all beautiful women sort of learn to possess, but she was able to translate on the screen. And it made their relationship very charming, and they had chemistry.
And can you talk a little about David Morse? He was very good. And also, did he really wear that dress, get in that car? I know we wouldn't put it on our doors, but come on.
I only answer that question off the record, no.
I didn't think so, because I couldn't get that dress on.
Yeah, so 6'4".
But can you talk a little about casting, David?
Well, again, he has this, he's really one of the best actors in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just so subtle. And he has this, there is a quiet menace to him when you meet him.
Oh, yeah.
And even though he's a remarkably sweet man, and I think I sort of believed it. You know, I remember this meeting where we were all together, because there was a lot of different ways we could have gone in that, and we all sort of agreed that, first of all, his size, his just sheer scale of him, he's about 6'4 or 5, and he's so quiet, and he has this really nice way of underplaying. We just thought it would
audition?
Work.
Or,
no,
he didn't. So it was just,
oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he act. Yeah, he read.
He did read for it.
He did read.
Are there any cool plans for the DVD?
There are things. There were a few things we had to edit. To stay within the PG-13 sort of boundaries. That'll probably be available on one of the. And I think there is some. Things to do with binoculars or something, as I remember it. Yeah.
So, I was going to. You want to know?
Go ahead.
I was just
going
to ask what you thought Caruso's qualities as a director are.
He's a wonderful visual stylist. I don't think I could have directed this movie in anywhere as well as he did in terms of his control over. Our perception of what's going on all the time. I think he has a really good sense of that, and the precision of the lenses that he uses, and how he created the sense of what our audience sees at any moment. He did a very good job with the actors.
I was curious if you've done a lot of other, high school kind of comedies, for example, Eurotrip.
Yes.
Has there ever been any discussion with some of those previous works of doing sequels? Because some of those were semi-successful.
Well, we're going to try Old School. I think I had wanted to do Road Trip, and the studio wasn't interested for some reason, which was a mistake. You know, they should have. I think they underestimated the worldwide success of that movie. As a director, I'm never interested in doing a sequel, although I did one for Ghostbusters. As a producer, it's the greatest. Because, everybody's on your side, from the studio to usually the audience going in. And so it's a wonderful, from a kind of economic standpoint.
What are you going to direct next?
There's two or three wonderful scripts I'm working on right now. And hopefully... And really right at that sort of, about a month or two away from sort of finally settling down on something.
Genres? Comedies?
Probably comedy, although there's one of them that's totally unlike anything I've ever done before. So that's not a comedy whatsoever. That's very seductive to look at. So it's in the mix.
And the other question is, what are you producing in the upcoming future?
We're going to announce something. I can't say right now, but we're literally about a week or two away from. We're just negotiating out
certain contracts.
With the studio in terms of. The good news is my partner Tom Pollock sort of raised all this money on Wall Street, so now we co-finance. This is the first film we co-financed, the prognosis is good, and so that makes us really happy, and. We'll continue that. The fact that we can co-finance certainly helps. It eases the ability for us to produce films for others.
Does that mean that with the co-financing, you can go? Do you have a deal with a certain studio, or can you just? Are you a free agent that can go wherever?
We can go. Our first look deals with DreamWorks, as it has been for about 5 years, and so. Films that we generate ourselves that, come up out of our development have to go to DreamWorks first, and then if they don't want to do them, we can go elsewhere. Or we can take, other studios have come to us to see if we would co-finance with them. We're in the midst of those discussions with a few other studios right now, actual movies that's what I mean about announcing our next film.
This producer and director title seems somewhat rare in the industry to me. Do you find these compatible things, or can they be at odds?
It's left-right-side brain things. But I've been producing since I was in college, and that's all producing and directing, doing the two things. When I direct myself, I almost don't think as a producer at all, except conceptually initially. You know, is this a good thing to do? Is it going to work out? And then I'm the director in the movie. And, you know, I've partners that I've worked with for over 30 years that sort of deal with the sort of all the more producerial roles in the film. And then when I just produce, as on this one, yes, I function like your traditional producer, but who can't really turn off his directorial brain. So I have a lot to say about casting and script and editing. I don't go on the set very much because it's too complicated, both for the director and for myself. And so I find if I'm going to be on the set, I should direct it. This is sort of my attitude. And I mostly I look at the dailies. I'll make suggestions if I think they're necessary. You know, just try to play a supportive role in the whole process.
Do you think the time is right in this country, especially now, for this kind of film where everybody's scared of terrorists, they're scared of their neighbors, they've got neighbors who are raping kids, and you find out they're hidden in their basement or something? Is it like a better time than it would have been a few years ago for a film like this?
Well, I think really what makes this film work is not sort of general paranoia, although certainly there's an aspect of that in our lives, and I think we were paranoid. I remember going to camp in the 50s or 60s and being worried suddenly one summer. I think it was the Cuban Missile Crisis. Oh, that's it, in 62. Yeah. I remember how frightened we all were at camp in Canada that, you know, there was going to be a nuclear war.
Those crazy Americans were going
to... Or... No, we were much worried about the Russians than the Americans.
Yeah.
And... I think humans have always been fearful, whether it was the large animal that was stalking the woods just outside of their shelter, or as a young kid listening to sort of fairy tales, you know, being told, and the ogre that lives very close by. And I think this film really touches real sort of nerves that live in all of our psyche, and it's what makes it effective. I think what's nice about the film is that it's not exploitive, it's not a slasher movie. It really does live in the realm of the brain. Yes, it gets rough at the end a little bit, but it's more like a great roller coaster ride.
Well, it manages to prove that a movie can be very suspenseful and really
not that explosive.
Economical in its use of violence, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was very much designed that way and spoken about very explicitly, you know, throughout the sort of both the writing process and then especially in the shooting process and the editing.